So we're going to move on now and talk a little bit about managing patients with EGFR tumor mutations. One thing, Haas, that I thought was interesting is we asked the faculty about the issue of combining an anti-angiogenic with an EGFR TKI. And you reviewed that in the lecture that you did as part of this program. When we asked the faculty whether or not they've actually done that strategy, most of them have either done it or would do it. But any thoughts, Haas, about the basis for the strategy of combining an anti-angiogenic and whether or not you think it's appropriate? You say that you've already done that.
I've done it in specific cases. In cases that I remember using an anti-angiogenic agent, first of all, they were mostly with the first or second generation TKIs, and there were patients who did not have as good of a response to the initial TKI. And based on some of the studies that were published previously adding an anti-angiogenic agent, I thought we might be able to rescue that patient population and get a better response out of the TKI. In the case of patients who are on osimertinib, I have to say recently I have not had the occasion of adding an anti-angiogenic agent, but we all have seen several studies now, again, with first-generation drugs in combination with bevacizumab, suggesting better clinical efficacy. The data with osimertinib still cooking. There are studies, again, looking at that, but it does appear that there is at least a little bit of an additive effect. I wouldn't say it's necessarily synergistic, but definitely some additive effect in terms of improvement in the clinical efficacy. Clearly, the downside of using an anti-angiogenic agent with a TKI is that now you're taking a drug, in this case, let's say osimertinib, that's very well tolerated, a once-a-day pill, nobody has to come to the office for anything, and now you're adding a drug that's, at least at this point, for the most part, an IV agent. So now all of a sudden, patients are going to have to come to the clinic, be hooked up to an IV, and then you're up in the ante a little bit in terms of the toxicities, dealing with the traditional toxicities associated with the anti-angiogenic agents, including hypertension, proteinuria, and risk of thromboembolic events and things of that nature. So doing it in special cases, I think, makes sense. But if we are to use this, I think we need more definitive data to say that a combination like this is better than single-agent TKI by a lot more to justify the additional cost and toxicity and the inconvenience to the patient. I think it's a decent strategy. I think when you think about the fact that we're not curing patients with EGFR mutations with simple osimertinib at this point, that progression eventually happens. If there are strategies that can delay the progression or improve, again, the clinical efficacy without too much toxicity, I think it's a reasonable approach.
So Eddie Haas reviewed some of the ongoing trials that are looking at this, both looking at bevacizumab and ramucirumab. Just kind of curious what your thoughts are about it. The one situation I've heard people talk about that Haas was alluding to is the patient who has a good response to an EGFR TKI, for example, osimertinib, and then has disease progression. The idea of adding in something like bevacizumab, is that something you would ever do or consider, Eddie?
It's something that I've done, although in all honesty, in sort of in collaboration with other physicians who have chosen to do it. When I have used this approach, it has not been in a salvage type setting, but really as a frontline approach. And I think that you do see very robust progression-free survival data. We do not have overall survival data on this approach yet, but you now have three large studies showing strong progression-free survival advantages. The other thing that is of note is that these patients, at least from the recent trial looking at ramucirumab, appear to have T790M develop at a similar rate as would be anticipated with just single agent TKI. So if, for instance, a patient were to start erlotinib plus a VEGF TKI, the toxicity of the erlotinib is generally more difficult than the osimertinib, but nonetheless, that patient potentially could benefit from osimertinib at a time of progression, particularly those who have a T790M. So I think it's the sort of thing that is a reasonable discussion to have with the patient.
So that leads into one of the big questions that comes up with these patients, which is what to do when they have the progression after first-line therapy. And Julie, one of the questions we ask is, should you get more tissue or blood for assay? And looks like everybody is doing that. I'm kind of curious, Julie, what do you usually do if you don't find anything specifically targetable at that point?
Then I move on to chemotherapy. And I've really feel most comfortable with the chemotherapy plus Bev plus Atezo regimen. In these patients, my gut is that these patients need a taxane and do seem to need the anti-VEGF. And this is the only trial, particularly if the patient wants to use IO, this is the only trial that included patients with EGFR mutant disease.
So, Eddie, this graphic here introduces a question that's been heavily debated the last few years, not just in patients with EGFR tumor mutations, but other patients, ALK, et cetera, which is where does IO fit in? Where does PD-L1 testing fit in with these patients? And at least in terms of EGFR, the faculty is going to think about it, whether it's on first relapse or beyond. A lot of them will think about it right after targeted therapy. But you have Dr. Horn saying she doesn't want to use IOs, period, which is kind of maybe a little bit unusual response. But Eddie, can you summarize kind of, you know, what you say to your, when you're making rounds with your fellows about sort of what the question is here about using checkpoint inhibitors and how you deal with it clinically?
I think what we have to explain to them is that the data to date would indicate that amongst EGFR mutation positive patients, a checkpoint inhibitor is not a great therapy. Now, the question is whether or not adding it to some other therapy can significantly improve that. And I think that's still debated. I have used the 4-drug regimen of atezolizumab, carboplatin, paclitaxel, and bevacizumab. However, I recognize the limitations of that data. The numbers were small, and it was not considered sufficient for the FDA to approve it. It was not part of the sort of design of the study to assess that group of patients for approval. So what I would say is that when I talk to people, I don't have a tremendously high hope for single-agent immunotherapy in those patients. It's something that they can try if they have exhausted other options. I have tried to incorporate it along with chemotherapy with varying results.
So, Haas, what about other targetable, you know, ALK, BRAF? Do you view them all the same, Haas? You know, BRAF, you see more smokers? Do you treat them differently as it relates to checkpoint inhibitors, for example?
Yeah, I do treat BRAFs a little bit differently than some of the other targetable mutations. So the EGFR and the ALK patient population, I pretty much treat the same. As was just suggested, I don't think there is any evidence the single agent immunotherapy is active in that patient population. So if I were to use it, I would use it in combination with chemotherapy like it was presented here. BRAF is a little bit different. I think there is some data to suggest that maybe they would respond better to immunotherapy approaches. I think that is a little of a separate or a different patient population as far as I'm concerned. For the other ones, like the NTRK and all of that, I think, again, we're learning a lot more about these mutations with the drugs that are coming out. A majority of patients who are going on, for instance, some of the other trials with NTRK have had exposure to chemo and immunotherapy. So I think it's a little bit different patient population there also. But for the biggest chunk of patients, the EGFR and the ALK, the strategy that I have listed here, chemo with immunotherapy, is something that I would definitely do, and not single agent immunotherapy.